Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Chase Thomas Podcast, where I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee, Everything School HQ down there in Tequila, Georgia. My good friend, fellow University of North Georgia alumni, Matt Green, is here. Matt, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, sir. It is good to be back with you.
Oh, well, wow.
What's up?
Awkward
start here. You been enjoying the tournament, man? I know your Vols are the only SEC team that's looking good so far, but
Bama survived too.
Tournament always, the first weekend of the tournament never disappoints.
Well, I mean, I saw somewhere where I think 13 out of the top 14 KenPom teams have made it to the Sweet 16. Auburn being the only top 14 team not to make it in the group. So it's been chalk to the end. So there were some upsets early on, but the best teams in the country have all made it into the final 16.
I think Yale's getting beat pretty bad right now. So Auburn dropped the ball there.
Hey, Tennessee won in gigantic fashion to win the series against Ole Miss Sunday afternoon. So this was fun, where Dinger country is in full force to take the series over the Rebs. Georgia, I know you didn't watch here because you refused to go all out for Charlie Condon, the number one overall potential pick in this summer's MLB draft. You won't buy in, Matt Green. What do they have to do?
I mean,
they
just did sweep Alabama, and they won like a walk-off grand slam, I think, in one of those games.
Got tossed for throwing his helmet before he got to the home plate and got to spin it for the next game. It was a wild time. Why aren't you invested, Matt Green? College baseball's fantastic. What are you doing? Get involved.
Doing a lot of things. I only have so much bandwidth for so many sports. But you know, also shout out to Mike White. Georgia's still alive in the NIT, so we might win the whole damn thing. So let's go. We're still playing postseason basketball in Athens.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are, Matt Green. Well, on this after last week, we did the top 10 coaches in the sport. This week we are going to do the top 10 most likely to make their first college football playoff in 2024-2025, with the 12-team playoff debuting this year. We have some crossover here between the two, and we also have some that did not make our list, and this was just for the one. And I'm really interested in some of these that you have on here, because it's interesting to think about there's going to be some surprises here, and there's going to be several new faces, I think, making the tournament for the first time in school history. So when we talk about this, Matt Green, I think the obvious one that we both have on this list, and I think probably I feel is, which is kind of funny to think about in 2024 that I would say this out loud, but in terms of who hasn't made the playoff, who I'm most confident makes the CFP in 2024 or 2025 is Ole Miss. I it's weird to be that way in 2024, but that's where I am. I think of all the teams going into this year who have not made the college football playoff, I am most confident that Ole Miss makes their debut there. Are you in an alliance on that front, Matt Green?
They're near the top of my list, but I would not say I'm most confident just simply because they're coming out of the SEC. Like, I know Ole Miss's schedule is not a gauntlet from what a lot of teams have in the SEC this year. But at the same time, they do have Georgia. They have LSU. They have Oklahoma. Like, I mean, for all that matter, they have to go into the swamp to play Florida. Like, it's not like we expect Florida to be good, but there's just, we haven't seen Ole Miss ever play for an SEC championship, right? And that's not what necessarily the benchmark of being a college football playoff team. You could be the third, potentially even the fourth best team in the SEC and get in. And it feels like the stars are aligning that this is going to be Ole Miss's best team. And I don't know how, when, at least since that Robert Kimdichie and that group was there in the first time Hugh Freeze when Hugh Freeze was the head coach. But so I think Ole Miss, things are coming together for him, but it's hard for me to have him as the number one favorite to make their first playoff.
They just killed it in the portal. I mean, you just forget that Walter Nolan's now going to be in that interior. You have obviously Juice Wells right there in the slot. They do a lot of 11 personnel. I just look at this group, and I guess maybe the question is like, okay, well, Quijon Jenkins is now at Ohio State. Like, how much of a drop off does that mean? I don't think it goes that way. I go the alternate way, where this is going to give Jackson Dart more opportunities to light teams up. And I think their passing game is going to be really good this year. I mean, you have Trey Harris, obviously, coming back, who's a dynamite receiver. You have Jordan Watkins, who's back. So you have two starting returning guys. Deion Smith's a big transfer target. I'm not as worried that, like, it's going to be Ulysses Bentley the fourth, probably as your lead tailback. And it's not as much star power or juice as what Quinchon brought the last 2 years at Ole Miss. But I just think Ole Miss's offense is going to be really, really good, especially the passing game. And I think the defense takes a step forward with Pete Golding in year two here, because you just brought in, like, the front four. I mean, it's going to be really good. You've got just a lot of talent on that front. I think the linebacker spot, probably not where you want it to be, but the secondary, I think, should be fine. I don't know. I just look at Ole Miss, and then you look at their schedule that you mentioned. Like, they're going to coast into, I think, the LSU game on the road undefeated is my gut there. You get Oklahoma at home, which is good. You go to Arkansas, that's very winnable. You get Georgia at home this year, which is great for you. At Florida, I mean, Mississippi State, Egg Bowl at home to wrap. Like, this is not an easy schedule, but in terms of what I think they're going to be, and I think Jackson Dart's going to be in the Heisman conversation all year long, and I think that wide receiver trio is going to be one of the nation's best. I think this Ole Miss team is going to, like, if they don't win 10 games minimum, I think something went really wrong with the Rebs this year. And I just think if you're a 10-win team in the SEC this year, you're going to get into the playoff. It's my gut. It's going to be hard for a 10-win team to get left out. So I would be very surprised if Ole Miss is, barring crazy injury luck, I just don't see Ole Miss not making their first playoff berth, which is, hey, a testament to Lane Kiffin and what he's built there last two seasons, winning double-digit games both times.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're definitely you would project them to make the playoff right now. And that's more than we usually say for Ole Miss. So it's just, we have to keep in mind, we're talking about what you just said, like, at worst 10-2. And right now the best Lane Kiffin has ever been is 10-2. And that's 10-2 at Ole Miss is big time. Don't get me wrong, but 10-2 should get you in the playoff, I would think, as an SEC team. But, you know, we've seen crazier things happen. I think the number one team's got to be Penn State, just because they're the team that's there every year. Like, even
you've,
if they're,
said
not
all
good,
offseason, you're off the Penn State train, Matt Green.
It's
this whole offseason has been about Matt Green leaving Penn State behind, and you're putting him in the playoff as the most likely. What's happening?
Because it's not a 4-team playoff anymore. They could still be behind Ohio State and Michigan, or maybe Michigan takes a step back and they're behind Ohio State and Oregon or something. But they go 10-2 just about every year. Like, that's their thing. So you look at Penn State, they're ranked in the top 12. You know, they're going to get the quality loss, like, benefit of the doubt. They're probably going to be preseason number 12, and they're going to beat preseason number 9, and they're going to beat all the teams they should beat and probably lose to Ohio State, lose to, I don't have the schedule pulled up right in front of me.
Let me tell you, Matt Green, they open at West Virginia. West Virginia's good. They might lose that game out of the gate.
I mean, they could, for sure. But, I mean, they've played Iowa. You know, they've played teams that are, like, respectable, and they beat everyone else they play. You know, they've beaten the Maryland.
I mean, they're at Wisconsin. World. They're at USC back-to-back.
I mean, do we expect USC to be good? Is that a home field advantage?
I'm buying some USC stock. I mean, we'll get to USC on this list because they're not on my list for this year. But they had a, I don't know if you saw what they did today. They're now in the top 5 in 2025 recruiting. They added 2 big time defensive linemen, and then they added someone else. Was it a corner or safety? They added somebody else who was also a 5-star, but they've been Lincoln Riley and company. And I love the Danton Lynn hire, which is part of it. I think their defense is going to be pretty solid. I think they're going to be better than they've ever been under Lincoln Riley.
I did have some dog bites if we want to get to it at the end of our list.
Okay.
I can touch on that a little more.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I think Penn State, like, the schedule looks like 9-3, 8-4 to me. We have to see Drew Aller put it together this year. New offensive coordinator. We'll see what that means for Penn State. And like I said, I'm not against Penn State. I think James Franklin's an underrated coach. I still think they're in a really good spot. I also just think the conference is better. Like, Oregon, I don't think the Big Ten is going to get as many teams as the SEC is at large wise. And I just look at Oregon, who I think is going to be better than them. I think Ohio State's going to be better than them. And I think Michigan's going to be better than them. And I don't see a path for this year.
That doesn't 100%. They don't play Michigan, though, right?
No, they do not.
So that doesn't necessarily rule them out, is the only thing. Like, we could see some 9-3 be ranked 11th or 12th and get into the playoff. Like, I can't rule it out. Like, I'm in no way saying Penn State improves next year. They lost a lot on that defense too, but I think year after year, we kind of expect just a certain level of defense on Penn State. But you look at what they are, like what you're saying, Drew Allen taking that next step, like that's what needs to happen for them to be a semifinalist, you know, to be a top 5 team, to be a top 4 team. Like, if they just keep doing what they're doing, they've been a top 10, top 12 team plenty of times.
They were 75th in yards per play last year.
Yeah, I mean, they're flawed. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not picking. That's why I'm against this 12-team expansion. I don't think this team belongs to be playing for a national championship. But I think at the end of the day, they go 9-3, 10-2 with their good Big Ten schedule. Because like you said, if they do go 9-3, they got a couple good wins. Maybe they do win at USC. Maybe they do... Who was the other one you said at USC and at who back to back?
Wisconsin.
At Wisconsin. Like, maybe they do get get up there in the top 5, top 6 by the time they played Ohio State, and that brings them back down. And then you look up at the end of the season and they're 10-2. Like, that's just what happens to Penn State a lot. So we talked about it. Like, if there was a 12-team format over the last decade, like, Penn State would have been the number one beneficiary of that. And Ole Miss was actually surprisingly high up there too. But I think Penn State has got to be the number one team for this year.
You're wild.
In terms of a team that never made the 4-team playoff, of course, with that prerequisite.
I don't think Penn State's making the playoff, and I think the odds are pretty low. I'd be very surprised if Penn State makes the playoff this year. I cannot believe, after you just doubting them, kicking them to the curb.
I'm not thinking of to win the Big Ten.
This is unbelievable. I can't believe you did this. Everything that Matt said about Penn State of the last month, just thrown out the window. He's all the way back in now. It's ridiculous. Matt Green on this podcast. Like, we have the receipts, sir. Just don't act like you're going to quit Penn State, because Matt Green's never quitting Penn State this very program.
This is just blasphemous right now.
Somebody we both have on the list, though. Tennessee, who I think the path, similar to what Ole Miss is doing, Matt Green, when I throw out Tennessee as a top 10 most likely team to make their first college football playoff in 2024, what say you?
I'd say I don't have them in my top 10. I think Tennessee's path to the top 10, to the top 12, I should say, is just a lot more difficult. Like, I think Tennessee, if you're ranking the best teams in 2024 that never made the 4-team playoff, like, I think Tennessee could be up there, but for what it takes, like, we're talking about Ole Miss, you know, a second ago, like, it feels like there's kind of a big 3, maybe a big 4 going into the SEC. And I'm not even including Alabama in that. like with Georgia, Texas, I would say LSU and Ole Miss kind of feel like they're a little bit above everybody else. Alabama's got a lot of question marks, but still Alabama. That's fifth. And then Tennessee, I guess, coming in at sixth. So that just that right there, the climate that Tennessee essentially will have to get through to get to the playoff. I just think a lot of these smaller conference teams, because we know that fourth conference champion, right? It was the top five. No, five conference champions now, right?
Yeah, five plus one.
So we know that one of those G5 schools is going to have a much better shot than someone like Tennessee that's going to have to get through Georgia, that's going to have to get through Alabama and the rest of that SEC schedule. They go at Oklahoma this year?
They are at Oklahoma. I think that's one of the biggest swing games for them. Obviously, Heupel will be extremely motivated for that when they play in NC State in week two in a neutral site game. I think that'll be stinky important. But you get Florida and Alabama back-to-back, but they're both at home. So Tennessee, like I've mentioned before, Tennessee has lost one home game in the last 2 years, and it was at home this past ending against Georgia. Heupel has not lost at home very often. It's minuscule. You can count it on one hand going into year four.
Is it only two losses since 2021, with Georgia being the only two? Or did they lose some early ones in 2021? Put you on the spot.
They lost to Pitt at home early in 2021. They lost to Pitt at home, and then they lost another one. Ole Miss at home. They lost to Ole Miss at home.
Was that the mustard?
Yeah, that was the mustard game. So they lost that one at home too.
Gotcha. Okay.
So since 2022 on, I mean, it's been not just chalk, Tennessee winning at home, but it's definitely, it matters. The home atmosphere, and I think the style at Heupel plays. I just think Nico, year two, I think this will be big, big for Nico. I think there's a lot early returns on the receiving core is strong. There's a lot of competition. I would buy some Dante Thornton stock in year two in this offense. I think he's more comfortable. I think he's going to shine. I think the tight end combo of Holden Stays, the Notre Dame transfer, and Ethan Davis is going to be really solid. The offensive line, you have Lance Hurd coming in, former five-star offensive tackle at the left spot. You have John Campbell returning. You have a bunch of older vets on the offensive line front. I like the schedule. The schedule screams 10-2. There's a reason that it's at 9.5 right now. They have the best defensive line in the country with James Pierce leading the way. That's going to be huge. They're going to get after the passer. They have the best they have the best edge rusher in the conference, and we'll see what the rest of it shakes out. But I mean, Amari Thomas and Omar Norman Lott and Bryson Eason and Tyree West and Joshua Josephs. This is an extremely experienced, strong group on the front seven for Tennessee. But Chris Brazel, I think this offense, I think you're going to see a lot more passing, a lot more downfield stuff, a lot more of what we saw in 2022. And I mean, Nico, the reason you're seeing him as a early Heisman favorite, and part of that is like quarterback play matters so much in this sport that if Nico is a Heisman type guy right away for Tennessee, then look, I mean, Tennessee's going to be right there in the playoff conversation. And part of what the committee is going to look at is, yeah, let's get Nico Iamaliava in this fun Tennessee offense in the playoff. Like, let's find a way to get this.
That's not how the decisions are being made.
It's not about
the resume. It's going to be
Jordan Travis didn't. It's not just the resume. We saw that. I mean, optics matter. Like, quarterback play matters. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you are still thinking about the product, they absolutely are clearly still thinking about what the on-screen product is going to look like in these college football playoff games. So I just think
let's start like one SEC game before we're talking about him being like a guy that the TV producers just have to put on their screen.
I mean, he was the number one overall recruit in his class, Matt Green. I mean, the biggest Tennessee recruit since Peyton Manning.
Right? We've seen guys come in and just be okay. Like DJ Uiagalelei was super big time, and he was fine.
I think Heupel deserves the benefit of the doubt here.
He could be a star, but let's not get ahead of ourselves here.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. I just don't know how you don't have him. Like, I didn't do my list in order in terms of most likely, but I think the path is actually pretty clear for Tennessee to get 10 wins and to sneak their way into to the college ball playoff this year.
Yeah, they definitely could. I think their path is a little more difficult than someone to segue. Mm-hmm. In the Big 12 like the Utah Utes, because Utah feels like the clear favorite to win that conference.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner of the Big 12 is going to get into the playoff. They don't have to play Georgia. They don't have to play Alabama. They don't have to go to the Swamp. Or is Tennessee going? No, they're coming to, it's not relevant.
Well, you look at Utah. Florida's at Tennessee this year.
I thought about that right after I said it. Utah has basically just been that just kind of blue collar team. Just, you know what to expect day in and day out. And they've beaten a lot of talented teams. They've won that the Pac-12 multiple times. And I think the Pac-12, in terms of just kind of high end talent, it's got more than the Big 12 has had in recent years. Like you have the USC's, you have the Oregon's that get big time players. Like, and Utah's still beating those teams in conference championships. So I think they go to the Big 12 and they might be one of the most talented teams, which is something they're not used to. And, you know, they're just going to give you that, you know, just that steady performance that they always do. They just always have a solid defense. Cam Rising playing his seventh year of college football, I think. And I think they should just be one of the better teams in the Big 12. I think it's, they could, if they go 10-2, I mean, they can still, and win the Big 12, I mean, they're an automatic qualifier, right? So I think they're definitely one of the, they're up there with like Penn State as, I think, being one of the bigger beneficiaries of the 12 team format, and obviously the realignment.
Oh yeah, for sure. I also, I mean, Matt Green, without looking, who would you guess, how can I frame this? So scoring defense last year, where would Utah have sat if they played in the Big 12 with the current Big 12 members last year? If they played in the Big 12.
Oh, among the conference?
Mm-hmm.
Probably first.
First. They would have had the best defense in the conference.
Playing against much better offenses.
Yeah. I think they're going to do really well. I think they're going to be a high floor team. I 100% agree with you. Their schedule is kind of like, the back end's sneaky tough. Like at Colorado late could get weird. Iowa State's always going to be frisky. And then at UCF to close. Nothing says rivalry week like Utah going to UCF to close their college football season. What are we doing? Why are we doing BYU?
That Utah-UCF rivalry, that goes way back. You must not be a diehard.
I do love the Utah pick, though. I feel like, are they? They might be number one on my list. Like I said, I didn't do it in order. I have Ole Miss. I don't know. Who would you be more surprised of if they didn't make it? Ole Miss or Utah?
I would be more surprised if Utah didn't make it, just because I won't be surprised if you look up and one of these teams on Ole Miss's schedule like is a lot better than you thought, because it's the SEC, and that's just every year their schedule isn't the toughest, like we were saying, but I think Utah's road is just going to be a lot easier.
Yeah,
and I mean,
I still lean Ole Miss just because I don't think the margin of error is as strong. Do you know what I mean? Like Ole Miss can slip up a few times and still find their way into the college football playoff. What I worry about with Utah, and really with any Big 12 school right now, is there's just a very thin margin for error. Like Utah's got to win the conference, I think.
No, you got you got the automatic bid.
No, what I'm saying is they have to get it. That's Ole Miss doesn't have to worry about winning the conference, and they're fine.
I mean, that's fair, but I mean, there's a good chance that a 10-2 Big 12 team, like, I mean, look at, we saw like 2 years ago Baylor and Oklahoma State playing at like number 6 and like number 8 for the conference championship. So I mean, this isn't like TCU obviously just played for a national championship.
Yeah.
So it's not like Texas and Oklahoma were just running that conference like every single season, you know?
Right.
So there is still a chance. Oklahoma State is kind of, I don't know what's happened to them the last couple years, but I mean, they're like right there in terms of a team that like just the new formula gives them a lot better chance than maybe some of these blue bloods, because they're playing in a kind of a watered down conference now.
That's fair. Matt Green, I think we differ here. Speaking of the SEC, I have Texas A&M on my list and you do not. Why do you not have Texas A&M as one of your 12 most likely to make their first appearance this year?
That's true. I didn't even consider Texas A&M. I guess just year one after firing Jimbo, there's a lot of portal movement. I mean, I like Mike Elko a lot. Like, I'm a big fan of that hire, but I don't know. I feel like A&M just felt like a mess, kind of. And maybe it's it's just a matter of a new guy gets in there and they're one of those, like, it's not really as a rebuild. Like, it's just someone needs to get them a course correction. I'm not buying A&M necessarily year one of Elko, but I mean, they could be a good team and by the year in, but I mean, like we were just talking about Tennessee, I'm thinking preseason, like the sixth best team in the SEC, like,
oh, I think A&M, better than that.
I mean, I just ran through it though. Right. Like, you got Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss, LSU, Alabama.
I think Tennessee is preseason better than Alabama right now.
Well, regardless of if you put them top six, that top six right there, like, that does not include A&M. So they get set the seventh, eighth, ninth best team. You could be a good team. Win eight games in this conference. That's conference schedule's got a lot tougher when you added Texas and Oklahoma to the mix. But that doesn't make you a college football playoff team.
No, and I think part of it is, look, the talent's still there. People looked at, like, Evan Stewart moving on, stuff like that. But, like, this is still an extremely talented team. They're still going to be right there on the blue chip ratio for this group. You lose Walter Nolan, you lose some big names, but there's still a lot of talent. Connor Wegman, former five-star quarterback, he looked good before he got injured. There's all kinds of opportunity there. Colin Klein, I think, was a sneaky great offensive coordinator hire, bringing him in from from Kansas State. I think he'll be good right away for them. The defense was already good. So Mike Elko is taking over a defense that, if you look right now, they were seventh in the country in home scoring defense. Texas A&M, we make jokes about the Texas A&M fans, whatever. It's an extremely tough place to play, and it's hard. Their defense is for real. They get Notre Dame at home to open the year. That's going to be a huge game for their narrative, for building momentum for their season. Like, we'll learn a lot about A&M and what they can be right out of the gate. They go to Florida. I mean, that's very winnable. You get Arkansas at home, obviously. Mizzou at home, who could be a top 10 team. I think that's great if you're A&M. You get Mizzou at home. Like, the fact that they get Mizzou at home, LSU at home, and Texas at home this year is huge. Like, there's a path to A&M.
And Notre Dame, what a home schedule.
I know, but, like, that's an all-time great. I mean, Georgia, is it this year that y'all are excited about your home schedule, or is it next year?
No, it'll be 2025.
Yeah, it's a good one, I think. Georgia fans are pretty excited.
I'm not sure off the top of my head who's at a conference either. So there could be a big non-conference game in there too.
There you go. But I just look at it and I'm like, I think there's a path, very much for A&M to sneak in as a 9-3, 10-2 type team, with their schedule. They get a lot of 50-50 games at home. And I just think it's a sneaky place to play. And I think that defense is going to be top 15 ish scoring defense. And I think the offense is going to be improved than what we saw last year. And I think I'm still pretty high on Connor Wegman. So I would not sell, any A&M stock. And I would not be surprised if they're floating around that conversation late in the year.
No, I think that's fair. I think that they definitely have a lot of talent, but it'll be a matter of getting through the SEC, like we talked about. Also, on Georgia's 2025 schedule, I don't know if everybody's heard, but they've said, I don't know if that is official, that they're going to have the same schedule in the SEC as 2024, as 2025. I guess probably because in 2026, they're going to add Clemson and the whole college football world's going to go up. And
well, I think they are. They're safeguard. They just know they're expecting more change. So they're just
all like, these. Yeah. ACC is going to do whatever. It's going to be madness. So, Georgia will have Texas. Who else? Alabama and Ole Miss all at home that season. And they're also going to the Rose Bowl, CLA that year as well. So that's a, already shaping up to, and obviously Knoxville. So yeah, that'll be a good one. Go at Auburn, at Tennessee, and to the Rose Bowl.
No, 100%.
Be surprised because it's such good memories that Georgia fans, you know, make a journey out to the Rose Bowl.
There you go. I saw some Georgia fans who weren't like all enthused, and I'm like, what are we doing? Like, yeah, that'll be fun. Like, just enjoy it. Like,
enthused about what?
Like making the
same
trip.
Schedule?
No, going to the Rose Bowl for that game.
For Oklahoma or for UCLA?
UCLA.
Oh, I mean, it's not really like a big game, but I would just imagine Georgia travels. So yeah. I would just imagine with how fun the, it's obviously not going to be as fun as the 2017 Rose Bowl.
But don't overthink it. It's the Rose Bowl. It's maybe the best stadium in college football.
Just excuse to go to California.
Something that's not on my list that is on your list. USC, Matt Green, why do you have USC as a team that you think could make the playoff this season in their inaugural foray into the Big Ten Conference.
To be fair, they were on my 12. They were number 12 on my list. So they were almost an honorable mention, if you will. But I mean, I think it's just because they've never made the college football playoff. So we're working with a certain formula here. And, you know, who knows? Lincoln Riley could come in here. Could be like Urban Meyer, like showing up to the SEC. Hit him with an offense he'd never seen before. And he run through that offense. Turns out they're not playing good defense in the Big Ten. It's just a bunch of terrible offenses. And Oregon and USC come roll through this conference. They're the best two teams in the league. Who knows? Anything could happen. But no, I don't think that's going to happen. I think USC is just kind of a dark horse that I threw in there at the end.
Their schedule's rough, man, out of the gate. Like, it's one of those where it's like, I think their season might, like, in terms of playoff odds, I think it's out of the question. Because I think it gets better as the season goes on. But, I mean, they open with LSU at home. I mean, good luck. You have to go to the Big House as your first Big Ten game. Week 3, you get Wisconsin at home. That'll be close. At Minnesota in early October. Penn State at home. That'll be close. You go to Washington, tough place to play, and then you finish your year with Notre Dame. I just don't see it. I just see this as a 9-3, 8-4. Like, I think they're recruiting really well. I like the D'Anton Lynn hire as the new defensive coordinator for USC. I think USC is trending in the right direction. I just think in 2024, I would be very surprised post Caleb Williams with their quarterback room right now. I just, in that schedule, I don't see it. I don't see you. I think USC's improved. I think they'll surprise people with where they finish ultimately in the Big Ten in year one. But I don't think Lincoln Riley's bunch I think they top out at 9-3, and I don't think they can make the playoffs.
Keep in mind, LSU Tigers haven't exactly taken care of business at a conference in recent years. You know, they lost to UCLA. They lost to Florida State last year. So I don't. You know, I think LSU is going to be better than USC next year. But yeah, I mean, you're probably right. I'm not buying the USC stock, but I'm just throwing them out there as in terms of teams that have never made a college football playoff. I think they're, you know.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're in the conversation.
I think next year might be like I would lean more into it. But this year,
what are the odds? Oh, man, I mean, blanking on this guy who that started the bowl game. What was his name?
Oh, it's Moses. What was?
He looked good in the bowl game. And I mean, what are the odds that he turns into a damn Heisman Trophy finalist? Because every quarterback that starts for Lincoln Riley turns into a Heisman finalist. And most
and he
of
might
them
not win the
award.
Job. What's his name off the top of my head? Why am I blanking? It's like it's gonna drive me nuts. This is gonna drive me nuts. Hold on, I'm pulling it up. This is gonna because it's like he's Miller Moss. That's it. I was going to say Moses Miller. Miller Moss. Yeah. He was solid, but I don't even know if he... I mean, we'll see, because they brought in... That's his name, Jaden Maiva. Was Maiva the one who almost transferred to Georgia and then changed his mind and went to USC instead?
Oh, that's right.
Was that who that was?
Where would he... Where was UNLV? He transferring from? That's right.
Was he the one... Yeah, am I misremembering that, or was he at Georgia?
Yeah, it was like a day.
Yeah.
I think you are right about that.
Okay. So we'll see who's the starter, but I mean, either it's like your point's well taken that, I mean, just bet on whoever's at quarterback under Lincoln Riley. He's gonna be fine.
I think the offensive angle is something to watch from, because I said that kind of sarcastically, but I do think the Big Ten offenses have been awful. Like I think Ohio State is still going to have, you know, a big time offense. They're kind of the exception, but we've seen some really bad offensive play in that conference, and we've seen some really good defensive play, but you know, you also saw a Tennessee offense that struggled throughout the season, and Nico was not playing the whole season, which is a whole nother topic we're not going to get into right now. But that's a guy making his first career start, right?
Yes.
Against an Iowa team that had this great defense all year, and they absolutely torched them. So you saw Penn State, a terrible offense for them against good teams, absolutely destroy Iowa's defense. So, you know, I think there is something to like the defensive stats in the Big Ten being like so good that part of it is some offensive ineptitude. So I think that is an angle that Oregon and USC could come in and win with offense, maybe in year one.
Yes. So we'll see. I like you said, I'm here for where they're going and where they can ultimately be. And like I said, they're torching the recruiting trail right now. So keep an eye on USC this summer. One team that I think is going to be mad that we're disrespecting here. And we're not, because I think we're both pretty high on them and gave them their flowers after last year. I think Mizzou has to be on this list, right? Like Mizzou has to be on both of our lists. So what would you say about Mizzou's CFP chances in 2024, Matt Green?
Well, I don't want to sound like a broken record here, but I feel the same way I kind of do about Missouri as I do Tennessee, you know, except for I kind of think things are like a little bit, you know, more aligned for Missouri than Tennessee. Like obviously if Nico becomes a star, then, you know, Tennessee, they could go through the roof. But I mean, Missouri hasn't won 10 games in a decade since before 2023, like, and they haven't finished top 10 in a decade before 2023. So the odds of Missouri doing it again, it's hard to bet on it. You know, like I think they do have a really good quarterback. You know, I think they do have really good weapons out wide. I think their defense was pretty solid, but obviously they're losing Cody Schrader. And he was like the best running back in the SEC last year. He kind of carried them the second half of the season. So I mean, you saw him win a game, and obviously wins are wins. Like I'm not here to like dissect how teams won games and things like that, but like they did have to escape a team like Florida, you know, late in the season, like, who's a really bad SEC team a year ago. And obviously they won the game, but there's so little margin for error, and it's hard to predict. Like I was just talking about those top 5, 6, 7 teams in the SEC, like Missouri, are they going to be the third, fourth best team in the SEC? Cause I don't see the SEC, as great as it is, I don't see the SEC getting 5 teams in. Do you?
It's hard to say because we haven't seen anything yet. Like, I don't know what the committee's going to, like, we're going to learn a lot after this first iteration before it goes to 14 in a couple of years. But, like, I would lean the SEC is going to get the most. Like, I think I would be very surprised if, I think 5 feels about right is probably the max. I think you want to, if you're that 5th team, you'd feel better about being the 4th team, obviously. But I do think you'll be right there. But I also just think, Mizzou is in less of a Tennessee mode. I think they're more in the Ole Miss mode, where I think their schedule just, it screams 10-2. Like Mizzou gets, they avoid Tennessee this year in a rematch.
No Georgia, I mean, right?
They missed Georgia too. Yes, they missed them both. So that's huge for them. That's potentially two the best in the conference. They miss LSU, who could be right there among the best of the conference. They'll coast. I think at A&M, early October will be a big test for them. But outside of that, you get Auburn at home, you get Oklahoma at home. At Alabama, we'll see what Alabama looks like. That's always tough to win, probably a loss there. But I mean, if you can survive with just a loss at A&M and a loss at Bama, I think you're looking, like, I would think you'll be favored in every other game to get to 10-2. And I think they'll be right there. So I don't know. I think Mizzou is going to be in that conversation. I don't think they can win the title. I do love what they've done in the recruiting trail. I think they've done well in the portal. They lose their elite defensive coordinator, though, to LSU in this cycle. So we'll see if the defense is good without Baker going into next year. But Brady Cook, I mean, he's a winner. He's been around for a while. Luther Burden's obviously one of the best receivers in the conference. I think they'll probably end up throwing a little bit more. Mizzou's going to be good. Like, Mizzou, in terms of, like, staying power and stuff like that, like, with this schedule and what they're bringing back and what they've kind of established, I think Kirby Moore has been an elite offensive play caller since coming over to Columbia. I think Mizzou's going to be really good, but they just can't get chopped up with a bad, like, one. They have a very thin margin, right? Like, they cannot go 9-3 and make the playoff. So they have, I just don't think they're going to win at A&M or Bama. So you just can't drop one of those gimmies. So I'm very curious to see how Mizzou handles A lot of those gimmies, like the home game against Auburn, because I think Auburn's gonna be better this year. Can they
win
that?
Break it down, and if you break it down like that, like if they go 10-2 with those losses, I'm not sure how good their resume is at the end of the day either. Like, because those might they don't have the strongest schedule in the SEC next year. But you know, we'll see. I mean, Luther Burden is probably the best receiver in America, honestly. Like he's a stud. So, I mean, you look at last year's final college football rankings, Bama was 4, Georgia was 6, Missouri was 9, Ole Miss 11, and then LSU, LSU was the 5th one at 13. Mm. So Ole Miss at 11 would have been the 4th team. And if you get in, another conference champion, that knocks him to 12. ACC champion, who's the ACC champion?
Last year?
Is it Louisville? No.
No, Florida State won last year.
What am I thinking? Oh, yeah, Florida State's up there. So, brain fart real quick. So, yeah, so I guess Ole Miss would have been the 4th SEC team. They would have been 12th. It would have just been, like, I guess Liberty that would have jumped in there into the top 12. Or I guess Notre Dame. How does Notre Dame work in all of this? Are they a G5? They don't count as like
I don't think they can host, right? Like they don't get a conference title host. I think they get one of the at large.
So they can't be an automatic qualifier. They can only be an at large.
I think so.
Okay. That would be the ultimate loophole for the G5 to keep them out. Like, Notre Dame.
Oh my god. I don't think they can do that, because I think it's still
right. I think it's 5 conference champions, and then so Notre Dame wouldn't be in. So no. Last year would have seen 4 SEC teams.
Mm. Matt Green, another one here. As we get the final two here that we have, and then we'll run through some of the fun ones, kind of the G5s that I think are not even G5, but some lower level ACC schools and stuff like that we have on here. I have Miami and you have Miami. I was surprised you did it, Matt Green. People aren't going to like it. People are going to push back against some Miami hype. Cam Ward, I think, was a sneaky big late cycle win for the Canes. They're right now my preseason. We were talking about betting odds and looking at their over-unders and stuff a few weeks back with the ACC. I think Florida State takes a step back. So wait and see with Clemson, but I think they're going to be talent-wise. Like Clemson and Miami are going to be right there in the same tier. I think it's open for Miami to make a big run and to get that 10-2, 11-1 type run for the Canes. So I think college football playoff is a fair expectation or reasonable expectation, I think, for Miami fans going into this year. What say you?
No, I think so. I mean, it's a different, the conversation has just changed completely. You know, like when I'm bringing up Penn State, like I'm not hopping back on the bandwagon or anything. It's just the environment has changed. So do I think Mario Cristobal is now like a top 10 coach in the sport or anything? Like, no, like, is there a chance they underachieve and still make the college football playoff? Like, absolutely. Like this team could mess around and lose like twice.
They could lose to Florida to open the year on the road.
Yeah, maybe lose 3 times, but win the conference championship game or something like that, especially if you have the one at a conference loss. Like, so I think the ACC champion, also Clemson and FSU are obviously excluded from this since they've made the playoff before. But yeah, I think Miami is just, I think things are coming together, and Cam Ward, you know, I'm not the biggest Cam Ward fan. Like, I don't think he's like a superstar, but I mean, you look up at the ACC and like, I don't know that there's a better quarterback in the conference than him. So it might be an indictment on the conference. It could be because he's a really good player, but I think Miami, a lot of things are coming together. Like this team, they weren't terrible a year ago. Obviously that Georgia Tech loss is what everyone kind of remembers, but I mean, what did they win? 8-9 games a year ago, even with that bad loss that honestly should have been a win. Obviously you can't, there's no should be's, but I mean, Miami was, they're not a terrible team. You see their fans, some of these, you know, photos of their fans and the empty looking stadiums, like that never looks good, but they're not what Miami once was. But I mean, that doesn't mean they can't be, you know, the best team in the ACC next year.
No, I mean, I'm projecting it. And like this schedule, Matt Green, I think they'll be favored in every single game next year. Looking at it, like, I think they're going to be, you get Florida State at home. The only toss up where I don't think they might not be favored is at Louisville in mid-October. And I mean, it's not great that they get Louisville and Florida State back to back with no bye in between, but this schedule is just nice for the Canes. Like, I think the biggest thing to me, which is kind of funny because I don't like you and I with where we think Florida is going to be at, Florida is not a cakewalk like to open the year. Like, I don't think we can pencil that one in as like Miami should win that game. I think that might be the tell. Like, if they get through that and just it's not weird and they just take care of business against a team that they're better than on the road in the swamp, then I think you feel pretty good at what kind of position that puts you in for the rest of the way. But I think the sky's the limit because I think Cam Ward could be a Heisman guy this year. I think their offense is going to be top 10 in scoring this fall. And I think there's a lot of talent on this team. Like, Miami, I'm buying a lot of Kane stock right now, Matt Green.
No, I'm with you. Yeah, like, they're not going in like Arkansas went into the swamp. Like, when they had a couple losses, like, fans have been dejected. The season didn't go how they want. Like, that week one, while you know, the sky is still the limit, they're going to bring it in the swamp.
No, 100%. Let's do our, as we wrap up here, Matt Green, let's do our fun ones. Give me some of your fun CFP ones that you have as like dark horses that you think can make their first playoff.
Well, like I said, when we're talking about Miami, like, I think Clemson should be better maybe than they were a year ago. I don't know that. Like, I was really high on them and what Garrett Riley was going to do to their offense. And, you know, maybe year two, we do see that offense transform. We see Cade Klubnik live up to that, what he was supposed to be coming out of high school. But I think the ACC feels a little open. I think that's part of the reason Miami is getting some conference championship love. And I think, like we talked about with Louisville a year ago, with their schedule, that was going to go a long way in helping them out. That's the Syracuse Orange this year. Like, their schedule is very, very friendly. And they do avoid all the big boys in the ACC. I mean, if they somehow go through that regular season schedule and go like 11-1 or something and lose an ACC championship, like, that's a potential college football playoff team right there. I'm not sure they're one of the best 12 teams. I don't think they probably, under that scenario, deserve a chance to play for a title. But this is the landscape now. This is where we are. And Syracuse, they're improved, I think, in year one under Fran Brown. They've made some moves in the portal. So, like, Kyle McCord, you know, we talk a lot about Kyle McCord, but that's because Ohio State was just producing All-Americans, first-round picks year after year after year, and Kyle McCord wasn't that. But he goes to Syracuse, and he's the best quarterback they've had in a few years. So I think Syracuse is definitely a dark horse in the ACC next year.
I don't hate it. I just, that's asking a lot, man. Year one for Fran Brown at Syracuse. I mean, Kyle McCord putting a lot on him. Like, I don't know, man. I'm not there. I think it's a good hire. I think Fran will do a good job in Syracuse, but man, that's a lot on.
And that would be a big indictment on the ACC more than anything. Like, and really their schedule is the biggest player in that. So I'm not saying to go out there and put your hard earned money on it, but who knows? Crazy things have happened.
Can I give you my favorite one?
Yeah, hit me.
It's Air Force.
I saw you had Air Force on this list. I please explain.
Troy Calhoun, friend of the pod, one of the best college football coaches as a whole. He's going into what, year 17 with the Falcons. So shout out to him. 9-4 last year. But here's the thing, Matt Green, when you go through just his career at Air Force, the man wins all the time. And you're looking for like the G5 team who could sneak in here. Who's the G5 team that could make a run? They went 10-3 in 2022, 10-3 in 2021. You throw COVID out. They were 11-2 and 7-1 in the Midwest, in the Mountain West in 2019. They're flirting with perfection. They won, I think, 8 straight before they had a rough ending to last year. And I think they were really doing well as a whole. Air Force is going to hang around. I mean, Air Force is going to be the G5 team that, like, let's put the triple option in the college football playoff. I want a team to sweat having a full strength Air Force team as the G5 team. You have to go to Air Force.
Equivalent of playing like against the Princeton offense or something.
Yes, I want the tournament. Air Force to get like Ohio State, who didn't win the Big Ten, to have to go to Air Force for their first playoff game. And just what that's going to have to look like. I think it obviously be snowing and be cold and triple option football. Air Force is who America should be rooting for to host a playoff game early on, because I want them to get one. Like, Ole Miss has to go to Air Force or something to keep their, like, that's what I want. And Air Force, I think, is going to win a bunch of games. Again, that's what they do. They can hang around. Air Force, like, Troy Calhoun, man, I would not be surprised if he finds his way into the college football playoff before it's all said and done. It's going to be hard to, but look, it's not like you have to be perfect to get into the playoff as a G5 team. You just have to be the highest ranked conference champion, and Air Force can drop a game. Like, they could still run the conference gauntlet. You get Oregon State at home. You get Navy at home. You got to go to Wyoming. That'll be a little bit tough. Baylor, not very good. I think they can handle that. San Jose State, new coach at home. I like the schedule for the Falcons. Give me some Air Force, man. I'm going to be extremely invested in my Air Force Falcons making the college football playoff this year.
I love it, man. I'll take your word for it on the Air Force Falcons. It's funny that neither of us mentioned, you know, kind of the OG here, which is the Boise State Broncos. Like, Boise State's the team. They paved the way for even anyone even considering giving the G5 a shot. So, you know, they could easily win the Mountain West and creep into that top 25 and be the highest G5.
A different era, man. I need to see it to believe it. The Boise Bronco Blue, it's not as prestigious as it once was. They're struggling as of late, last couple of years. I don't know, man.
No, they're definitely not what they once were.
I want Hawaii in there. That'd be fun. But I don't think so. I don't think Hawaii is going to be right there in the Mountain West this year.
But yeah, there's a few more of those. You know, one of those, I think that's all of those teams, if you're given like a probability, you know, of just right now, I think all of those, Liberty, Tulane, James Madison, I think all of those teams have like a higher probability than the Missouris, than the Tennessees, than the USC's. Ooh, world.
You think they have a higher probability?
Yeah, because one of them is going to go. Like, it's they just have to win their weaker conference and, you know, go 10-2 or 11-1, maybe even undefeated. What did Liberty go last year? 12-1?
They went undefeated until they lost to Oregon.
So, yeah, I mean, undefeated, Liberty's in. Like, you telling me Liberty is half as good as Tennessee was last year? Like, probably not. Like, but they don't have to be. They just have to win their conference. And
I mean, they had to go undefeated. What I'm saying is, like, there's just the margin for being
Tennessee last year, 9-4. Give me Joe Milton, Tennessee versus that Liberty team.
And oh, they would have won. Tennessee would have won handedly.
That's what I'm saying. So they don't have to be better than Tennessee. This is the formula. And if the Dukes of James Madison go 12-0 and win the Sun Belt, like, they're getting in the playoff over Missouri, like going 9-3 or something. You know what I mean? They're not even getting compared to Missouri because they're automatically in. So I just think in terms of probability, one of those, and I don't know which one is going to be, you know, obviously Liberty's head coach is at Indiana now, right?
Yes, Kirk Cignetti.
Yeah, so I mean, Liberty's obviously been good under multiple coaches. Like, maybe Tulane is back up there.
Well, Caden Salter's back at Liberty, so that was a big one where I was like, they wondered if he was going to enter the portal and move on to a P5, and he's back. So I think Liberty should be good again. I think that's a good call. And Jimmy Chadwell, friend of the program, fantastic coach. So he's going to win a lot of games there. But
I want to discuss one that you have on your list that you have not discussed yet, and neither of us talked about Kansas State also in the Big 12, kind of that same reason of Utah. Is this a brain fart here on your part? Why is SMU on your list? They're in the ACC now, right?
Yeah,
they're not winning the ACC. They're not gonna compete in the ACC.
I wouldn't be surprised. Brett Lashley's a good coach, man. They have talent. They're the boosters and everything else. SMU is going to be good. Like, SMU has a great quarterback.
What have they been doing in the AAC?
It doesn't. What do you mean? I think, hold on, let me pull up the records. SMU is absolutely a dark horse. But Preston Stone is a dude.
11-3 last year. Fair enough. Yeah. I'll bite my tongue on that one. But
SMU's good. Like, I would not be surprised if SMU found their way in.
Oh man, I would be shocked if they were. They would be a perfect candidate if they were still in the AAC. But I think going to the ACC, that I don't know. I'm not picking SMU next year.
I mean, they get Florida State at home. Noted ACC rivals, SMU and Florida State.
7-6 in 2022. What is it? What, you know, this team's not competing for an ACC title. You
Preston
kidding
Stone's me? Stone's a dude, man. Like, their offense is going to be really good again. I I think they're going to win double-digit games or come close to it.
Double-digit games in the ACC?
What world are you living in with the ACC?
We got to run through this.
How? They get Boston College. They get Pitt at home. Virginia. What do you mean? BYU at home. Florida State at home. They got to go to Louisville, but like, it's not a bad schedule. Like, that's a 9-3, 10-2 schedule for SMU. They got talent.
Interesting.
SMU's going to be good.
We shall see, sir. I don't know. I'm not buying
the Stangs.
I'm not drinking the Stang Kool-Aid like you are over there.
Stangs can do it. Rhett Lashley's a good coach, man, and they've got a great quarterback, and I think they're gonna be fine. I would buy some Stang stock right now.
Buy some Stang stock, he says. Who's HCU they got on the schedule there? I'm not even sure what
is that the one who made the tournament? It's the one, yeah, Houston. Oh, Houston Christian Huskies.
Okay.
I've never heard of them.
No, I've never heard of that school. So they got that. They got a win there. They should have a win on August 31st.
There you go. Well, that's all I've got, Matt Green. That was fun. I think there's going to be a lot of new faces. I think it's going to be interesting to see which teams ultimately find their way in. It's good to know that you really can't quit Penn State after quitting them for a month. You're all the way back in. A tradition unlike any other. So we got that to look forward to this fall, folks. Matt Green picking Penn State week over week and getting his Nittany Lions to make the college football playoff for the first time in the college football playoff era. Matt Green.
How dare you, sir? Hold on. Let me get some dog bites in here right here at the end here. Like you said, some good news and some bad news on the recruiting trail this weekend. Let's start with the bad news. First, Justice Terry, 5-star defensive lineman, committed to Georgia, flips to USC. And then you got another one, Isaiah Gibson out of Warner Robins. Is he a 5-star, I believe, as well? Two of the top players in the state of Georgia. He commits to USC. So big day. Obviously, Juju Lewis out of the state of Georgia, out of Carrollton, is already committed to USC. So, you know, we've seen some guys. We've seen Mykel Williams commit to USC and come on back home. We've seen Jarvis Jones. You know, he went to USC, came on back home. Became a damn good dog. So who knows? Who knows what will happen? Bear Alexander, another one, went from Georgia to USC. But I guess JT Daniels, USC to Georgia. A lot of moving parts there. So that's the bad news. Georgia missing out on a couple guys. But the good news, class of 2026, rising junior, Jared Curtis, number one quarterback, number one ranked player in the country by some. Out of Nashville, commits to the Bulldogs. So that's a big time commit for Georgia. Fun fact for you, if he signs, this list goes even higher. He would be the fifth 5-star quarterback that would be on Georgia's roster under Kirby Smart. I'm not even counting Dylan Raiola, that was once committed as a 5-star, but those other four: Jacob Eason, Justin Fields, JT Daniels, Brock Vandegrift, started a total of 20 career games at Georgia. So being a 5-star and going to Georgia, not necessarily, you know, guaranteed of success. You know, you saw Fromm, 43 starts, Stetson, 31 starts, Carson Beck, if he plays the whole season, he'll get to around 30 starts. So The 5-stars haven't necessarily been a guaranteed playing time, but as in any position, Kirby Smart gets elite players, and that's going to continue. Hopefully Georgia can keep him committed all the way to 2026. Who knows? He might end up commit to two different schools by then with the crazy nature of high school recruiting these days. But yeah, big active recruiting weekend for the Bulldogs.
There you go. Matt Green, always a pleasure, and I will talk to you next week.
Yes, sir.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.